The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, what a joy it is to be back in Texas. Yeah. Amen. I have a friend out on the West Coast who is from Texas, and he was getting near to retirement. And I said to him, I said, what are you going to do when you retire from your church? And he said, I'm going back to Texas. Amen. And I said to him, I said, why are you going back to Texas after all these years? And he said to me, he said, everybody that is from Texas is either headed back to Texas or they're working hard to find a way to head back to Texas. Now, you know, we live in a time frame when a lot of folks have just, they're weaker than water. They're anemic. They're just not much. They don't stand up much. They don't do much. And I mean, they're always whining, and I use a German word here, belly aching. Amen. My wife says I shouldn't use that word, but she's not here. But anyway. But whenever I come to Texas, I find a lot of folks who have what I call a holy swagger. Amen. They're not afraid of anything. And I like it. So I enjoy coming to Texas every little once in a while. And my joy and delight to be here in this conference and to be with my friend, Brother Mike Wells, and my friend, Brother John Hamlin, and Brother Fugate's going to be here later in the week, and a bunch of others, I guess. I don't even know who all is going to be here. But we're going to have ourselves a time. We're already into it. Yeah. And I'm glad for that. I told Brother Wells I didn't know for sure what to do tonight. I thought I would just have you to turn to the concordance because Brother Hamlin had already preached everything else. But he covered her from A to Z, amen? And that was good, and I appreciate it. He and I enjoy preaching together as we do often these days. Now, I want to read two passages tonight, and I'll be like Elizabeth Taylor was about her eighth husband. I won't keep you long. But it won't be real short either. There are two passages. The first one is in John 14. And the next one will be in 1 Peter chapter number 1. You may remember that the occasion for John 14, the Lord Jesus is very much aware that his disciples are a bit panicky because he has begun to prepare them for the fact that he's not going to be with them permanently. He's going back to heaven. And they're a bit perplexed about that. And so this passage is set in that context shortly before the crucifixion. And what he says to them on this occasion, at the top of the chapter, verse number 1, he said to them, "Let not your heart be troubled." But troubled they were. They were very troubled. But he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now you notice in this passage, when Jesus references the Father's house, he's talking about heaven. And he says, "I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to prepare a place for you and I'll come back to get you so that you can come and be where I am." Now, If you look at the other passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's read verses 3, 4, and 5. In this passage, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Now here again, the passage talks about heaven. And I want to talk to you a little bit about heaven tonight. We live in this old world that is bent wrong, headed wrong, doing wrong. We're in this old world where crazy is setting up shop early, first thing every morning, doing everything that it can to spoil everything that is good and right and precious and holy, trying to thwart the plan of God, trying to give Satan every advantage that it can. This whole world has gotten itself in cahoots with the wrong eternal crowd, and it's moving hard, and it's moving against everybody that's trying to move with God. But the Lord holds out for us the hope of heaven and gives us in the Bible a picture of heaven that ought to do some things to help us along the way. Now, let me just mention a few things about what he tells us. First of all, the Bible makes very clear, heaven is a real place. It is a real place, a very real place. Dallas is a real place. Houston's a real place. Albuquerque is a real place. California, well, maybe not. New York is a real place. Louisville's a real place. Memphis is a real place. Little Rock's a real place. These are real places. And heaven also is a very real place. Now, when the Bible talks about heaven, it talks about it being up. The Bible is very pinpoint specific about such stuff. For example, when you read in the Bible where it talks about people going from Jerusalem to Jericho, it says they went down to Jericho. When it mentions them going from Jericho to Jerusalem, it says they went up to Jerusalem. If you go to Israel, you'll find that the topography of the land, there is several hundred feet difference in the sea level between Jerusalem and Jericho in that 40-mile stretch. Now, the Bible, every single word is pinpoint exact in its specifics that it gives us. And so the Bible says that heaven is up. Now, where is it out there in space? I don't know where it is, but I know that it's out there someplace. You say, well, nobody's ever seen it. No, but it's out there. You may have read just 2.5 weeks ago in USA Today, there was a big story about what they believe is the discovery of what they're calling Planet Nine. Now, when I was in school, late last year, they told us that there were nine planets in our solar system. But in recent years, they have defrocked Pluto, the ninth one, and said it don't qualify anymore to be considered a planet. I was down in Orlando last Sunday, and they told me down there that Pluto's a dog. And I think maybe they're right about that. But they say that out in the far outer reaches of our solar system, that there is a planet 20 times the size of Earth. But they've never seen it. You say, why haven't they seen it? Well, they say that if we were to get on a rocket and hurl it into space at the speed at which our satellites and other things circle the Earth, and that is humongous speed, as you would imagine, But if we hurl that rocket out toward the place where this planet 9 is, at that speed, the article said they believe it would take 20,000 years for it to get there. So they haven't seen it. You see, how do they know it's there? Two independent group of scientists have come to the same conclusion based on other technical calculations out there. There are other bodies out there that they have seen, and the way that they react to each other, they said there's got to be one right here, and it's got to be something of this size, even though they haven't seen it. You say, are you trying to say that maybe that's where heaven is? Well, I don't know. It might be. What I'm simply saying is that our solar system is so vast. And by the way, we're only one drop in the bucket. There are other universes beyond ours. But in the far reaches of our universe, they say there's this huge planet 20 times the size of Earth. They can't see it. Now, I'm just telling you, there's points out there. There are black holes out there. Somewhere out there, up from here, there is a place, a real place, that God says is heaven. And if you read Revelation chapter 1, you'll get a lot of details about it, size and other kinds of things. Jesus said in this passage we read in John 14 that the place, very real, and he's going to prepare it for us. Now, you know, my wife won't let me in the kitchen except to eat. If she wanted to boil water, she'd hire it done if she couldn't do it. Because you let me prepare stuff in the kitchen and you'll all lose weight. I'm not good at that. I know I'm not good at it. In fact, I don't want to get good at it. I'm not going to be the guy that prepares the meals. I'd mess it up. Oh, you say, I want to build a house. I want to build a house. Oh, you don't want me messing with it. That's not my forte. You say, all you got to do is have a hammer and nails and some saws. You don't want me messing with it. You say, you've seen houses. You've seen what they look like. You don't want me fooling with it. I'd mess it up. And I could give you a long list of things that I couldn't handle. And if I talked to somebody that knows you, they'd give me a long list of things that you can't handle either. If you prepared it, if you built it, if you constructed it, it would have its problems. But Jesus said about heaven, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to tell you, all I got to do is look at the Rocky Mountains. All I've got to do is look at Niagara. All I've got to do is look at that great Mississippi River and other such things as that, and look at what he put together in the first place. He was, in fact, you know, the agent of creation. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made, according to John chapter 1. And that being the case, when Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, I'm telling you, it's going to be something really, really special. Jesus said, it's a place, a real place, a prepared place, and it's an eternal home. You know, I've been to Texas a bunch of times, and I've been to the Dallas area, and I know that not too awfully far from where I'm standing tonight, there are some homes, I mean some absolutely fabulous places. In fact, I've been in one or two of those. You say, how did you get in? How did you get in one of those big, big palatial places like that? I got in because I knew somebody. Did you hear me? I got in because I knew somebody that got me in. And everybody that goes to heaven is going to get into heaven because they know somebody who can get them in. And we know Jesus when we know him. That's the ticket to get us in. And heaven is an eternal home. It's not, I mean, every one of these places out here. I mean, I saw the devastation that tornado did right after Christmas. Looked at it tonight as we were coming in. Now, There are earthquakes and tornadoes and floods and all kinds of things. And the nicest, the greatest of places all around Dallas, all across Texas, I mean the greatest of such places, they may last 50 years or 100 years, but ultimately they will come down. Some of those terrorist morons. Am I making myself clear? Terrorist morons. Blew some things up over here in the last few weeks in that part of the world where they're running amok. Some of those places that were 1,000 years old and yet they blew them to smithereens just out of the meanness of what they do. You say, oh, but they lasted 1,000 years. Yeah, but they didn't last forever. Somebody tore them down. But I'm telling you, whenever you and I get to heaven, we're going to find that it's a real place. We're going to find it's a special place. We're going to find that it's been especially constructed and it will last eternally. There'll never be, you're not going to get booted out because you can't pay the rent. You're not going to get foreclosed because you can't make the payments. It will be constructed and it will be yours eternally. Heaven's going to be a busy place. I mean, a very active place. The Bible says about heaven that his servants shall serve him. A lot of folks have the idea that heaven's going to be one of those places where you just go and luxuriate yourself like laying out on the beach somewhere, and you're just going to have all, I mean, you're going to sleep late and take naps in the afternoon and eat big sumptuous meals about 12 times a day. Heaven's not going to be like that. We're going to be so absorbed in the fact of the presence of Jesus. Amen. So absolutely enamored with the fact that we're in that place and we're going to be engaged in serving him. And by the way, heaven's a wonderful place. Amen. See, the Bible tells me there'll be no more sickness there. Amen. No more cancer, no more coronary disease. Amen. No more allergies. No more allergies. No more bad colds. None of that. No more disease. No sickness. And no more death. You know that every medical doctor who goes to heaven will have to get a different occupation there. There'll be no need for his services. Do you know that every mortician will have to get a different occupation if he goes to heaven? Because there'll be no need for his services. Grave diggers, there'll be no need for their services. We'll never, never, ever have another open grave. Because there's no death in heaven, no death. I made a little trip this week, middle of the week. Drove from our home in Murfreesboro, Nashville, 180 miles to the north where I grew up. My mother, soon, a matter of a few months, to be 90 years of age, but she's hanging by a slender thread, very weak, emaciated. They say she has a few weeks, maybe a few months to live at the best. I went up and made a trip, drove up in the day, and spent several hours, turned around, drove back. I don't look forward to losing her. But the Lord willing, I'll have to do again as I've done on any number of occasions. When she goes, it'll be my lot to stand in a place like this and conduct the funeral. Buried my dad 7 years ago at his request, preached his funeral. My father-in-law, at his request, preached his funeral. My mother-in-law, at her request, preached her funeral. My grandparents preached their funerals. Other members of the family and others and precious people that I loved in the churches where I served, hundreds and hundreds of them. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of them. While I was in Maryland, pastor there, just one summer, June, July, and August, I made 5 trips out to the cemetery in that 3 months in the summer, families with little short caskets. 5 of them in one summer, buried a little baby. Oh, listen, as that summer wore on, I said, oh, God, never again. I don't want to see this again. I don't want this to happen again. There's enough. It's enough. It's enough. Whenever you and I get to heaven, there'll be no more of this. We won't be having to have the funerals. There'll be no more times for viewings. No, not at all, because death will be gone and all the sorrow will be past as well. There'll be no more of this having to get over our grief. When my dad died 2009, I said to Betty, I said, well, I got to put my pastor hat on. I could not do what I needed to do during the days of the preparation for the funeral and the funeral itself and the burial. I could not do that and express my sorrow and my grief. So I did not shed a tear. I put my pastor hat on and I did what I've done for hundreds of others. And it was my own dad, but I did what I needed to do, and I did not shed a tear. But about 10 days after that, I made a trip back up there to handle some of the business related to his dying. And I went out to that cemetery, and I found my, I mean, I went out there by myself. I didn't stay forever, but I did stay a little while. And I'm telling you what, I cried my eyes out. I had a boo-hoo par excellence. You say, well, what's the deal? Hey, he was my dad. He was my dad, and I'm his son. And the sorrow that I had in my heart had to be expressed. No more sorrow when you get to heaven. No more sin there. Last verse of Revelation 21 says nothing, no, nothing that abominates the place. Nothing that relates to a lie or a falsehood or none of that. None of that. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. It's going to be a place of great reunion. Great reunion. You mentioned Dr. Oliver B. Green a little while ago. I've been to Dr. Green's burial place in a mausoleum in Greenville, South Carolina, a couple of different times. And I can still once in a while hear his gravelly voice on radio. And listen, we remember the giants like that, and he was one. You know, I had the privilege to come to the Sword of the Lord 21 years ago, shortly after the death of my predecessor, Dr. Curtis Hudson. Dr. Hudson was a dear personal friend, and I, for my money, one of the greatest preachers that I ever heard. I loved him dearly. He was a friend, a personal friend. But he's gone. But I'll get to see him again. Dr. John Rice, the founder of the Sword, he died in 1980. I go out to the Bill Rice Ranch just every once in a while. Walk around, a number of others that are buried there, precious friends, Ray Hart and Viola Walden, who worked at the Sword for 72 years, and on the list could go. And I remind myself, I'll see them again. We get to heaven, they'll be there, and we'll have a grand reunion. Oh, what a time we'll have just getting back in place with precious friends and loved ones like that. And I need to tell you, heaven, it is a wonderful place, a place of reunion, and it's the best place. The best place. See, whenever it comes time for you to die, you don't have a bunch of choices. You'll either go to heaven or you'll go to hell. I said you'll go to heaven or you'll go to hell. See, a lot of the people out on the street out here, they think hell is nothing more than just a fancy cuss word. They don't know it's a real place, too. Yesterday when I went to the airport, Betty took me to the airport in the early afternoon. And I walked in there and presented my, tapped it into the little computerized thing. And, they won't know, where are you going? Where are you going? Oh, I said, I'm going to Dallas. Going to Dallas. Now listen, I could have walked in there. I could have gone to Louisville. I could have gone to Indianapolis. I could have gone like I will next week, Lord willing, to Detroit, or the next week that I will to Baltimore, or the next week someplace else. I could have gone any number of places. I mean, I could have walked in that airport. There were hundreds of choices. But the day you come to die, you'll either check out to heaven or you'll check out to hell. There are no purgatorial stopovers. No limbo layovers. Only heaven or hell. I don't have the time to dig into it tonight, but you've heard it, no doubt. There's a lot to be said about hell, and I'm telling you, you don't want to go there for 5 minutes, less, much less 5 years, much less for eternity. Think about your dear, precious loved ones who are not saved. What happens if they're stricken tonight before you get home? What happens if one of them gets rear-ended and killed on the freeway in the morning? What happens to your loved ones that are not ready? They're going to check out. I've stood by the bedside of unsaved people and saw them draw their last breath and heard earnest, sincere Christian people stand around and say, well, their suffering's over. And I wanted to scream and say, no, 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 it's not over. It just began. The worst suffering you ever saw in a hospital room is nothing compared to hell. And listen, if you're here tonight and you don't have this issue of salvation settled in for sure, oh, please, please hear me out tonight. Don't run the risk of going to hell. You don't want to do that. God's made arrangements for a beautiful place. In fact, He calls it an inheritance. You know, I love to inherit stuff. I never have inherited much, but it's always kind of fun if you inherit something. In this case, the Bible says that heaven, we get there not because we were able to pay the price of the ticket, but somebody else bought and paid for it. Somebody else, the Lord Jesus, bought and paid for it, made the arrangement for us, and He's handing it to us like on a silver platter. It's an inheritance. And it's an inheritance that is undefiled, fades not away. That car you drove in tonight is fading away. I looked at a car. I'd found it online. I looked at a car while I was in Kentucky this week. Got up there, looked at it, went up there with intentions of buying it, but I found out it was a used car. I found out when I got up there, there was a little thing or two that the pictures didn't show. You say, what's the deal? It's fading away. They say, well, what's wrong with the jalopy that you've got? It's fading away. That house that you live in, your wife will say to you, you know, we're going to have to paint the eaves and stuff. Say, well, we just painted that 5 years ago. What's the problem? It's fading away. She comes to you and says, you know, my old dishwasher's about wore out. My washer and dryer, man, they're limping. They're just barely getting it done. What's the problem? They're fading away. But the inheritance that we'll have in heaven is one that is incorruptible. Nobody can do it damage. It's undefiled. You can't mess it up. And it doesn't fade away. It's not going to wear down any road in any sense. You say, why are you preaching to us about heaven opening night of this conference? Well, number one, I think we ought to hone our knowledge about it. See, sometimes, if somebody walked in tonight and said, look, here's four tickets to Six Flags over whatever. Here are the plane tickets. Here are the meal vouchers. Not going to cost you a dime. Go and spend a week at Six Flags, Eight Flags, 12 Flags, some kind of flags. You'd jump up and down and you'd say, oh, Pastor, guess what we're going to do next Monday right after the conference and after next weekend? We're going to get on the boat and we're going to go. You'd be so excited and so happy. You'd be going around, you'd be telling everybody in church, look at my tickets, man, I'm going to go. Everybody that I know that goes on a Caribbean cruise, they can't shut up about it. Here we are working our fingers to the nub, and they're down in the Caribbean eating 9 meals a day on those ships. And they come back, oh, you won't believe. I mean, they can't shut up. Now, I'm not making light of it. 9 meals a day doesn't sound too bad right now. But let me tell you something. If you and I can get more excited about 5 days on a cruise, and we can get more excited about going to Disney World and more excited about going to Six Flags, if we can get more excited about going to a ball game, more excited about our little vacation to Podunk Holler, and we don't ever talk about heaven, concerns me. We need to hone our interest, hone our knowledge, hone how we feel about our real home. And at the same time, we create a hunger about it. A hunger about it. You know, I'm as tickled to be here. You can't imagine. I'm serious. You can't imagine what a delight it is to me to get to be here for these 2 or 3 days. But I'm going to tell you, come Wednesday morning, when we get done, you couldn't put a 20 mule team, hitch 20 mules to me and keep me from going to Love Field and getting on the airplane. You say, well, what's the matter? Don't you like Texas? I told you I like Texas. But Betty and I have a little bungalow that we call home. And I'm telling you, be it ever so mortgaged, there's no place like home. I'm just telling you, your house may be bigger, it may be fancier, it may be a lot of things more than that place that she and I call home. But home, you won't know about it, hey, I got pictures. Yes, sir, I'll whip them out, I'll show you. You say, what's the deal? It's home. And heaven is our eternal home. And you and I need to be kind of honing up our hunger for that. Because see, if we'll get our hunger honed up, next thing you know, we'll be trying to talk somebody else into going. Came back from that cruise. Oh, you guys got to go on a cruise. You and I figure out what heaven is, we'll be trying to talk people into going. We'll be helping everybody we can to get ready. And if we'll do that, I'm telling you, it'll be a lot of big days at Parkside. If you and I get in the business of just going after sinners, and telling them, man, you don't want to die and go to hell. You don't want to die and go to hell. There's a place, a real place, a wonderful place called heaven. And everybody who will sign up with Jesus, put their faith and trust in him, everybody who will do that, guess what? They get to go. In fact, we got a week in front of us. What if every one of us got one this week? What if all of us just got caught trying to get one? Trying to help folks to get ready to go to heaven. Jesus said to those disciples, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, my Father's house, I'm going to prepare a place for you there, that where I am, there you may be also. Wow. That First Peter passage said, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. You got to get a reservation if you're going to go. Amen. The guys picked me up at the airport over here yesterday, brought me over here to the hotel. I walked in, you know what I said? I said, my name's Shelton Smith. Person behind the counter said, oh, yes, sir. We're all set up. You know why? They handed me a key, and 60 seconds, I was down the hall and into a room enjoying myself. You know why? They made a reservation. I walked in like I owned the place because I had a reservation. You're going to go to heaven, you got to get an advance reservation. If you get a reservation, you get to go. You got family members who don't have their reservation. They're going to be out in the cold. They're going to be down in the heat. You and I need to do everything we can to get folks ready. Years ago, I had a preacher come to preach for me, and he was an older man, and I'd ask him a question or two, and he said, Shelton, he said, let me tell you, he said, if I was pastor of this church, he said, I'd set 2 things as my goal. I said, what are they? He said, number one, he said, I'd help everybody that I can to get ready for heaven. And he said, secondly, I do my best to see that those who get ready for the trip are going to enjoy it as we go. I said, my, sound like a winner to me. You and I need to keep our eyes on heaven and do everything we can to get everybody we can ready to go. Stand up, please, and we'll pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.